Good evening. We are so pleased that you are here this evening. My name is Doug Walker. I'm the associate pastor here at Asbury United Methodist Church. And on behalf of our senior pastor, Reverend Mary Hilliard, we are so pleased that you have chosen to be here on this Holy of Holy Nights, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask if you all would please stand and join with me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Silent night, holy night. Born a child, yet a king. Sing of love, sing of life. Our hymn of faith is hymn number 234. O come all ye faithful. We'll sing verses 1 through 4 and verse 6.
Thank you. I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, our steadfast hope of our personal salvation. Jesus Christ is our hope in life, and when we find ourselves facing a world of despair, let the light of your hope and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior of all be your counsel and guide this season and forevermore. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Almighty Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. May we honor his birth by living our lives in the fullness of hope, peace, joy, and love, that in doing so, others would experience the difference having Christ in our lives makes for all who know him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I would invite the children to come forward and share a few moments with me. We're going to cut. Okay, we'll. They just keep coming. Any more? This is wonderful. I'm so glad to see you all this morning, this evening. Hello. It's not evening, it's not morning. What is it?
Christmas Eve.
It is. I'm so confused. Thank you. It's just Christmas Eve, isn't it? Listen, let me tell you what we've been doing this whole time of Advent. We've been singing Christmas carols. Would somebody tell me what their favorite one is? Okay. Feliz Navidad. Not sure Jingle Bell Rock qualifies, but definitely, yeah. And nothing. Okay, let's go back. A carol, a Christmas carol, kind of tells the story of Jesus' birth. Now, does that help? Okay. Silent Night. We're going to sing that at the very end of the service, yeah? Joy to the World. That's a great one. We sang that this morning. Anybody else?
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Okay. So I'm going to give you all tonight some Christmas carol books. You may need to share, but we're going to sing for the congregation the first one in this little carol book. Now, I've been teaching this to my little 2.5-year-old granddaughter, and she's got the word hay down pretty well, and away in the manger. She says it like that. And so I would think by this time next Christmas, she is really going to be able to belt it out. There you go. Any more? Any more? There we go, sweetie. There you go. Okay. All right. So I know this is an impromptu. Well, there you go, Miss Finley. I know this is a little impromptu, but let's see how we can hit this. Angel, a note for Away in the Manger, please, sir. All right, here we go. Excellent job. Wow. I'm looking for Diana. Are you taking down names? This is a great children's choir. Of course, most of you are in Miss Diana's children's choir, aren't you? And we get to hear you really often. We're so thankful. So this is yours to take home. And maybe a new tradition or a new thing that you do with your families is on Christmas Eve, gather around and sing some of these carols. And you don't have to have a wonderful pianist like Mr. Angel, but you can just grab a key or a note somewhere in the air and just start for it and sing them. And remember, a carol is telling the story of Jesus. And you know what that is? That's your gift to Jesus as you praise Him and thank God for giving Him as our Son. Let us have just a moment of prayer, and then I've got a little something sweet treat to give you as you go back to your seat. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the children, for that is the form in which you came to life to us through a babe, through a child, Jesus Christ, who grew to be our Lord and Savior, and continues to reign in our hearts today and forevermore. So, Father, we rejoice in singing carols in honor of your Son, Jesus Christ. May it be a praise that is fitting and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Come on by and get a couple of...
As we go to the Lord in prayer, I think each and every one of us can think of someone who is not able to make it to church because of a health reason or for travel reasons or that they're just so far away that they're alone. Let's be mindful of those who cannot come and worship the Lord with their brothers and sisters, with their family, that they are alone. Let us pray, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that your Spirit is in this place this evening on this most holy of nights. Your grace abounds and covers us today as it did yesterday and as it will tomorrow. You are and have been the same throughout the ages and will be in the ages to come. We acknowledge that we are a blessed people because of you. We can come into your house to worship without fear, without retribution. We pray for our brothers and sisters in faraway lands who do not have the opportunities we have in this great nation. We lift them up to you and ask that you keep them safe in their worship of your holy presence. During this time of year, we're running from store to store, from gathering to gathering. I pray that we all stop and ponder just what this season is all about, the birth of Jesus, your Son, and the Redeemer of your people through his sacrifice on the cross. Help us to stay mindful of those who do not have a roof over their heads, clothes on their back, or warm food to eat. And Father, there are so many who are away from loved ones during this season. Grant them peace and grant them protection. We also lift up those who are celebrating this season for the first time without a loved one in their family, one who has been called to glory this year. Father, grant them peace and shower them with your love and with your comfort. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bow and bless this evening's offering. Loving Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. We know that it is through your love and through your grace that we have been blessed bountifully. Remind us to reach out to others who are less fortunate than us, and we lift them up in prayer and ask for their protection. We ask this in Christ Jesus. Amen.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, praise.
Would you please stand and join in our hymn of meditation, hymn number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
As we prepare our hearts and minds to hear the wonderful word of God as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, may our hearts and minds hear as if for the first time these marvelous words of the birth of our Savior. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. During Advent, let me just share very quickly that what we have been doing, as I shared with the children earlier, is going through some of the more familiar carols of Christmas. That's been our series, and we've looked at O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and then There's a Song in the Air, Joy to the World, and we'll end this service in a most beloved carol, Silent Night. But our featured carol for this evening is O Come, All Ye Faithful. I had an associate once that was flipping through my hymnal because he needed to borrow it. And later on, after he returned it to me, he said, "I found it very interesting that you have it marked which one is your father's favorite Christmas carol and which one was your mother's favorite." And I said, "Yes, I like to write things down. Maybe one day I won't remember that, but at the time it's very important for me to remember." And so this is my mother's favorite Christmas carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Just a little bit of history. It first began as Adeste Fidelis, the Latin version, and it was written by John Francis Wade when he was 50 years old, and it was published in 1760. And it's been suggested that it might have been a rallying cry in war. The translation from Latin to English was made in 1841, and the melody was provided for it by Samuel Webb. O Come All Ye Faithful, I believe, must have received its inspiration from Luke 2. Because tonight I want to talk about several of the people in the story that really displayed incredible faithfulness. And I'd like for you to kind of place yourself that night as we go to each one of these characters and see where you might have been in your faithfulness and your belief. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. I think the first thing we notice in this carol is the faithfulness of the citizens. As it said, a decree went out for all to be enrolled, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. Now, whether the citizens of Bethlehem found it convenient or not to stop what they were doing and go into the city to be taxed and to be counted for the census, I don't know. But they did it because they were told to do it. They followed the law. Our government tells us things that we are supposed to do all the time, right? Pay your taxes. Pick up your trash. Obey the laws. Don't speed. Well, we try not to. And for heaven's sakes, don't text and drive. I mean, the other day I found myself lying to my phone. It now has on there, "These notices will not come up while you're driving." And then it gives you the option, "I'm not driving." Well, I was in the car. I hadn't turned on the engine yet, so I wasn't really driving, right? Okay. Anyway, that's what's happening now. So listen to what the scriptures say about the importance of obeying the law. Romans 13, 1 through 3. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those who exist have been instituted by God. So to be faithful to the government may not always be easy, because we may not always agree with who's in charge. We may not always agree with all the laws. However, what we find out through the Luke 2 story, and what we find out as we read the scripture, is that to obey the law is not only lawful, it's scriptural and expresses obedience. And it was the first act of faithfulness in the Luke 2 story of the birth of Jesus. The second thing, come and behold him, born the King of angels. The second thing I notice is the faithfulness of Joseph. He traveled with Mary some 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And it was not an easy journey. Not at all. Because Nazareth had the climate of easy terrain and easy breezes, but not Bethlehem. The terrain suddenly became more treacherous and very noted for its strong winds. And here's Joseph's fiancée, Mary, had to also be counted for this census. So there she is in her condition, and the journey again was a cruel one. Now these mountains that were so notorious for Bethlehem quite often would have numerous chambers, usually more than two. And so it's believed that perhaps that is where the Holy Family stayed that night, that it would be common for the outer chamber to hold the livestock or perhaps a donkey if they had used one. And it would be in the outer chamber, and then the inner chamber of the cave would be warmer for the Holy Family. And perhaps that is the type of shelter they had that night. Come and behold him. Joseph not only beheld Mary, and we know he loved her dearly, but he beheld Jesus. No doubt he thought, you know, I've been chosen by God. I too have been chosen by God to help raise up the Son of God. And he kept that awesome honor and responsibility with great joy. Now, Joseph, we would believe, is a very sensitive man because he had every right to cast out Mary, to divorce or break the betrothal. But we know he was sensitive and loving of her and was not going to do that. And that was confirmed in a dream by the angel who counseled Joseph to stay with Mary even though she was expecting a child, for the babe she had conceived was through the Holy Spirit. This creator God that can create everything out of nothing could certainly do this through the gift of the Holy Spirit. He would be faithful and attend to her needs, this Joseph, as she labored. He would prepare a bed of soft hay, and we can almost imagine that they had carried, because they were on a journey, some kind of extra clothing or cloak, and you can almost see that he would spread it out over the hay to make a makeshift bed for her. And then I know, as a carpenter, he fashioned something together, something with his engineering skills for that sweet baby Jesus once he arrived. But now this wouldn't be the only dream that Joseph would have. Joseph was also counseled by the angel and told to flee to Egypt until the death of King Herod. At Herod's death, it would be safe to return to Nazareth again. And at Herod's death, Joseph would return with Mary and Jesus back to Nazareth and again nurture and take care of them both until his death. For we hear nothing of Joseph past Jesus' 12th birthday, as noted in the scriptures. It's interesting to me, Egypt, the place where the heritage of these people had been a place where the Israelites and the Hebrew people had been held in bondage, and now Egypt had become a safe haven, a place to protect the King of Israel, the new Jesus. Born the King of Angels, God, Mary, and Joseph would continue to nurture Jesus, the King of Angels, and it would be the angels that would continue to nurture Jesus after he grew up and faced his temptations before he entered into public ministry. For it says, after he met every temptation and conquered it, the angels came and ministered unto him. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Don't you know that's the glorious song of the angels every single moment in eternity unto their King Jesus? I like to think that one day when we unite in eternal heaven, that we will be a part of that heavenly host, and we will be singing to Jesus in a whole different way. True God of true God, light from light eternal, lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb. And obviously, the third person I see is Mary and her faithfulness. Think about what Mary didn't say. She didn't say to Joseph, are you crazy? I can't make that kind of journey in my condition. She didn't try to break the engagement in a feeling of bewilderment of what was going on. She didn't tell God, no, this is too overwhelming. I appreciate the honor, but I can't do this. The responsibility is too great. And she didn't cry out, and only a female pastor with two children can appreciate this. She didn't cry out and say, quick, get me something for the pain. No. She faced each challenge before her in faithfulness. She had Joseph's bravery and faithfulness to see her through that night and into her new little family. And she had God's strength, love, and grace to sustain her through the pain and the joy to come. And as we read in the gospel narratives forward, we hear from Mary from time to time. And we hear wonderful things. And we know how much Jesus loved her. He always respected what she had to say. Even when he was trying to protect his identity as Messiah because it wasn't time, he still followed his mother's request and turned that water into wine. And when she came and looked for him with her brothers, he said, I've got a greater, bigger family than just you all now. And I've been called to take care of all of them as well. Oh, we love Mary. So much so that in the reserved energy of his last breaths, he looked to his closest disciple, John, with his eyes. And looked over to Mary. And looked back to John and said, behold your mother. That's the last thing he could do for Mary. And that's the last thing Mary could do for her son that she saw born into the world and pass into the world to come. And finally, not to be overlooked are the angels and the shepherds, the messengers, the ones who actually are the reason we are here tonight, because word got to all the people, and it got passed down through the ages of this Jesus as our Christ. Angels comforted Joseph and told him to stay with Mary through the betrothal and birth of the baby, and then they would marry as it would be God's plan. And Joseph would protect Mary and the baby again from King Herod's plot to annihilate all the baby boys in hopes to protect his throne that was so threatened by this King Jesus. The shepherds witnessed and praised God as they ran to the villages, telling the world of God's glorious miracle, for God had come to visit his people, as prophecy had said, and came in the flesh, in the form of a babe, through his son. The word apostle, which you know we have 12 disciples, and then when the birth of the church happens after Pentecost, suddenly you hear all the words are apostles. Well, disciples are learning. They're learning under Jesus. And now Jesus has transformed and transcended into glory. And now these disciples are called apostles. But guess who were the very first apostles, which means messenger? God chose the lowly shepherds, the dirty, lowly, outcast of society shepherds, to be the ones that would give the message of Christ's birth to the world. That is the God we serve. That is the just God we love. No partiality. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Doesn't that usher in all meaning of life? If our words do not come from the Father, are they not empty? If they are not blessed by the Father, if they do not reflect holiness and righteousness, aren't they empty? Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. In words we speak, in words we believe, we must reflect the Lord. This carol of Christmas calls us. It calls us to our home in the heart, where we come and adore him. In all your Christmas traditions and festivities, in all your laughter and light, how are you being faithful? Think about all the times Jesus talked about faith. My daughter Kara's favorite scripture verse is, if you only have faith as tiny as that of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move from here and there, it'll do it. And Jesus would say, often your faith has made you well, and they were healed. And Jesus would say, never in all of Jerusalem have I seen such faith. Faith, think about it with me, if you will. F, full. A, active. I, intent. T, toward. H, him. Full, active, intent. Toward him. Are you being faithful to keeping peace in your family, your church, your workplace? Are you being faithful in giving your most and your best to the Lord and to others? And most of all, this evening, will you take time to adore him? And how in this new year will you find fresh ways to pause and take a moment to adore him? Wouldn't that be the greatest and grandest gift we could give Jesus Christ our Lord? Thanks be unto God. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion.
As we are preparing our hearts and minds, let me remind you that this table is the Lord's table. It is not Asbury's table and it is not a Methodist table. This is the Lord's table, and all are welcome to partake. As you come forward to receive communion, you're welcome to pray at the prayer rails. And then as you exit and go back down the side aisles, you're welcome to pick up a candle as you go to be used later on in our service. I now invite you to follow along in the liturgy in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, at this blessed Christmas feast, we give you thanks and praise. You created out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You made us in your image, and though we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, you loved the world so much you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so from suffering and death you raised him to bring us life. Therefore, with the angels who sang glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of an unending praise, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As your word became flesh, born of a woman on that night long ago, so on the night he offered himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks unto God, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and gave it to the disciples and said, Drink ye all of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. Therefore, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Let us join. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ. Be one in him. Cleansed by his blood, faithfully serving him in the world, and look forward to his coming in the final victory. Through him, in him, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Let's all stand together and sing hymn number 239, Silent Night, Holy Night. As the sanctuary lights are dim, the pastors will be sharing the light of the Christ candle from the Advent wreath with you, the congregation. As the light is distributed to one another throughout the body of Christ, each is asked to keep their candle upright at all times. When all have received the light and the last verse of Silent Night is sung, please raise your candle to the final words, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
Let us go in the peace of Christ, sending love of Christ and the light of Christ into the world. Amen.